Good morning. It's so good to be here together. Thank you for spending some of your weekend here with us. A special welcome if you are new or visiting, you're regularly here in person, you are online. My name is Tim and I serve as a senior pastor here, and it's great to be together. And I love that picture. You know, I hope something speaks to you this Easter about the way that Jesus has made for you to be forgiven and restored to a father. But I think Josephine just did it in just walking straight up to her dad and hugging him. That's actually what Jesus has won for us. And God wants to reveal to you that he is a perfect heavenly father. Before we move on, a value of the kingdom is honor. I want to honor someone. Brett Davis is here, who is the founder of Christian Surfers. And I just got to meet him over the last few days. He spoke at the Unify Youth event at the beach on Friday night. He spoke at the Blokes Brekkie yesterday. He's just an awesome guy. He's incredibly encouraging, and God has used him to transform so many lives. And I was also thinking his son is an amazing jazz pianist and phenomenal, unbelievable. And he would appreciate that our team was able to change the time signature as the song went. So well done. The worship team this morning was such a blessing. That was very clever. Well done. Today is the first of our Easter services. And if you don't know what that means, I am going to tell you what it means. But today, 2,000 years ago, it's kind of the start of the week leading into the greatest act of love and sacrifice in history. And that is Jesus' death and resurrection. And on this day, Jesus rode into Jerusalem. I'm going to come back and talk about some specifics, to cries of Hosanna, glory to God in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. And people were laying down palm leaves and recognizing that. And we stand in the reality and promise of these things that Jesus has done and fulfilled. And so it's good to be together, and I pray that that would be our focus. You have a lot of gifts that you could offer someone. I don't know what they are. For some of you, it's really obvious, and for others, you're coming to understand what that is. But our time can be a gift or an offering. Our finances can be a gift. We can give someone a present. We can make them a meal. We can do lots of things. But do you know that your attention is a gift, and it's an offering? And so today I want to thank you for the gift of your attention, the offering of your attention, but I don't want your attention to be on me. I want your attention to be directed and offered towards God. Because whether you've been a Christian for 50 years or whether you are just hearing the name of Jesus for the first time, I know that God wants to speak to you. And as we gather, if we just encountered each other, it would be nice, but we'd be just like any other club, right? Yeah. And they're great, but the thing that sets the church apart is the presence of God. There is no other worldview in which God comes down and lives with and within his people. And that's the God we serve. And so if you're a Christian already, God wants to speak to you. I'd love in your heart for you to just say, I know you're there, Lord. Speak to me. And if you don't know Jesus, maybe you can say, I don't know if you're there, Lord. But regardless, speak to me. Because I know that he will. You with me? Awesome. I get today to talk about the reality that Jesus is the way. And I am going to refer to that passage in John 14. But first, I don't think we quite fathom at times how Jesus is the way to come from death to life, but also that he is the map and road of how to live. And that to stray from that is actually far more costly to ourselves and actually others than I think is forefront in our minds often. So let's give our attention to this. Can we throw that first photo up? Thanks, Hannah. I wonder if you've ever been told that that is the way, or that is the path, or that is the track, And the reality is, if you stray from it, you are going to die. And you're like, why is this guy talking like they talked about blood? They talked about death already. These are the stakes around the reality of the events of Easter. This is, where's Pete? Can you say that for me? Yeah, that. Shishi Nihao is not what that says. So that's in China. And I think, obviously, if you are not holding on to that guideline, if you're not anchored to that chain, and if your feet are not on that path, you are going down a long way and nothing is going to stop you hitting the ground, and that will be the end of you. I thought, just to drive the point home, I don't know where this is, but I saw this photo and I'm like, whoa! Has anyone ever done anything remotely like that? Man, I know there's people here who've done like Machu Picchu. Yeah, I don't know if you've seen, there are some mountain bike paths that look almost like that. And people are moving quickly. And I'm like, you are nuts, right? But we're being asked to understand that the way that Jesus is the way and marks the way and is the pathway is much more important for our lives as someone who maybe doesn't know Jesus yet or as someone who is trying to follow him. And I just want you to hold that picture in your mind as you direct your attention towards God. And maybe your pain point today is, I realize my way is not working. Yes, we can be motivated by someone presenting a better way before us, but actually a significant motivator is also acknowledging, I've been trying this, or this is where I am, and I cannot stay here, and I can't keep doing the same thing, because the reality is, it's actually killing me, or it's killing someone else around me. Because when we walk our own way, we have to strengthen ourselves or cope in our own way in order to deal with the harsh realities of this life. And we've been going through this emotionally healthy spirituality, which is giving us tools to do that. And I want to present the fact that you can have hope in Jesus, but first you have to acknowledge that there's a problem. And I don't know how you're trying to cope. Maybe your coping mechanism is just like you feel the need to escape your life. You feel the need to be constantly distracted or entertained, or at worst, it's starting to drift into substance abuse. It's starting to drift into pornography. It's starting to drift into using and abusing and manipulating other people, or out of fear, you're actually controlling someone, or you just feel really disconnected, lonely, depressed, isolated. You know, if there is light in the world, there is dark. If there is Jesus who is the light, there is the devil who is the enemy, who is the dark, and he wants to isolate. But Jesus came through him to make a way for us to be brought in. Never alone. Never without strengthening and comfort. And I'm going to get really specific as to how we live this. Maybe you're just numb. I want to invite you out of that place to a hope that to a life that is full of hope and peace and vibrancy and purpose. That's what the message of Easter is through Christ. John 14:6 says this. Jesus answered. Because he's sitting with his disciples. It's the Last Supper kind of setting. And Jesus is saying, I'm going somewhere. And they say, well, how are we supposed to know where to go? And Jesus is saying, you can trust me because I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so these three things, way, truth, and life, they are interconnected, of course, but they are worth talking about specifically and individually at the same time. So the question begs, why do we need a way? Why do we need a way? And, you know, if you've been following Jesus for a long time and you're like, I know why. And Pete just told us why. But I want to help you in order to tell that person who doesn't know Jesus why. I want to equip you. And I want to encourage you. And I want to bring it close to your attention again. You know, Jesus didn't die and come back to life just to make bad people good. It was actually to bring dead people alive. Maybe even as you're following Jesus right now, you kind of feel like you're only half alive, like you're not where God wants you to be. You're not doing what God wants you to do. You're not fully alive. I think he's inviting people today into this. And Romans 5:12 says this. I was weighing up, Pete, like, do I share that passage? You, Romans 5:8, Romans 5:12, it's God works. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, which was through Adam, and death through sin, and in this way death came to all people because all sinned. God's plan wasn't to make a world in which evil and suffering was there, but sin came into the world through Adam, and then death came into the world through sin. And because everyone sins, death comes to everyone. And God, does he just go, oh, well, it's happened? No. He sends Jesus. This is the only worldview in which that happens. God comes into the world, gives his life to save and redeem his creation. Our lack of life, our lack of perfection is proven not against the person who you might think you're better than down the street, but against the perfection of God. And when we realize that, we see we cannot save ourselves. Maybe you're a pretty good law-abiding citizen. Anyone been arrested lately? We'll talk about it later. I'll tell you a couple of stories. Anyway, so I think Brett might possibly have a couple too. So it doesn't matter. Like, no one can keep a law perfectly. And this law, God's law, which is perfect, no one can keep that perfectly. And so God looks down in kindness, in love, in grace, and says, I am going to give part of myself in Christ to die as a perfect sacrifice for you. Would we agree? It's a dangerous thing for a husband to say from the platform, but would you agree that you've never come across a perfect human? You know what I mean? I love my wife. There's this big trend of pastors doing like, check out my smoking hot wife. It got kind of weird. I love my wife, but I'm not perfect. She's not perfect. You're not perfect, sorry. No one's perfect. That's why we need Jesus. Like, look at the world. Don't you think we could just agree? There needs to be some value under a flourishing society. Don't you think we could agree that, like, every human has an equal worth? We can't even agree on that. We need a perfect savior. We need a better way. We need something to underpin this life. And we need a deeper gratitude and understanding that actually to walk off that path is death. So let's walk it together. So how is Jesus the way? So Palm Sunday, I just want to tell you, like 2,000 years ago, Jesus rode into Jerusalem, fulfilling a 500-year-old prophecy from Zechariah 9:9 that would actually tell us exactly the kind of motorbike he was riding. The baby donkey, foal of a donkey who rides in, fulfilling like somewhere between, it's around like 100-year-old to 1,000-year-old prophecies in one day. It gives so much credibility to one who he is and to the truth of God's word. And so he fulfills prophecies and it's amazing. And people meet him as like the, in their expectations, the military leader coming in to overthrow the Roman oppressors or to bring about a new government and rule. And Jesus met all of their expectations in that moment. No, he didn't. Because what they didn't give their attention to, what they didn't acknowledge, is that he came as the perfect lamb, the sacrifice that we needed more than the overthrow of a government. Because this doesn't have the impact on an empire that might last hundreds or maybe 1,000 or 2,000 years. This has ramifications for all eternity. And that's who Jesus comes to be and do. And so today I want to encourage you to recognize him as the way to be saved, which is the way he said to recognize him, as you can today. I love this passage in Mark 1:15. Says this. This is Jesus' words. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. That word time in Greek is kairos, and it means like a catalytic moment, like an explosion of your life and the power of God meeting. And when that truly happens, you walk away changed. But sometimes over time, our attention wanes off that, and God is going, I want the gift and offering of your attention right now. See what I've done. See what I want to do. See what I might do through that and through you. If you don't know, Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, the way for you to be saved, forgiven of everything, past, present, and future. There is nothing that you have done that God's power through Jesus cannot forgive, cannot cleanse, cannot transform. He makes broken things new. He's done that for me. He's done that for people I love. He can do that for you. There's the offensive nature of Easter, the good news of Jesus. I mean, if we really realize this, there's an offensive truth that Jesus had to come at all. Because that is, you can't save yourself. And the Bible is full of offensive things that I think people are shying away from more and more. Why? Because people are more and more becoming lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And if you're a guy, you're like, what the? That's weird language. But right, whatever you're passionate about, whatever your heart is towards, whatever your attention and time is toward, is the thing you love. That's what it means. God is inviting you to put him first, to put your attention towards him. And the church's message in love has to be, I was going to say this later, but everyone know who Oprah is? Yeah? Oprah has done a lot of good for a lot of people. But Oprah, I don't know if she actually calls herself a Christian, but she will talk about Jesus, but she will talk about there being multiple ways to God. That is not love. That is not truth. That's not the way. Like, can we go back to a photo of the path just to get that across? I really want you to understand this. Oprah is effectively saying, don't worry about that path. Just step out this way and walk in the air and you'll be fine because there's multiple ways to make it. There isn't. The Bible is clear. If there is light in Jesus, there is dark in the enemy. The devil doesn't have power over us. The victory has been won, but the battle wages. So if there's light and there's dark, the Bible says there's heaven and there's hell. And hell is the destination of those who are trying to walk without Jesus. And I want to tell you, people say, like, how could a good God send people to hell? God didn't create hell for humans. But sin will send them there without Jesus. It's not love and kindness to withhold that from people. Yes, the risk is they might not like you in that moment. Your friendship could actually shift. The cost could be high. But actually, this is what love looks like. If Jesus is the light and the light is in you, this is the light piercing dark places in our world. Because if we look at the world, what the world is saying and doing is not working, is it? And there is no other way apart from the way of Jesus. And I love that it answers, like, I don't know if you remember, but there's this, like, Homer Simpson. I'll be specific, Homer's Odyssey. Homer Simpson opens the Bible and he says, there's no answers in this. And, like, people laugh and even Christians go, ha, ha, ha. But you know what? Everything that you need to be answered is answered in there. And everything that the people you love need answered is answered in there. Maybe God's asking you to help them discover it for themselves. As Brett was talking about, and I'm literally going to read the passage that he shared yesterday because I didn't have it in my message. I was like, I'm going to read that again because actually that's how we walk the way and path of Jesus. But it answers, how did all this get here? How did it start? Who created me? Who do I belong to? Who am I? What's my purpose? Where's all this headed? All of these things are answered, and these are the things I think that bring so much anxiety, worry, lack of peace, lack of hope into people in the world. And if you know Jesus and you know that this is in the Bible, then you have the ability to deal in hope and to share it with people who sorely need it. But hey, maybe you're feeling really tired. Maybe you're feeling really weary. And I want to acknowledge that. Maybe you're feeling burnt out. Maybe you actually go, oh, Easter means like my church is doing Easter, so it means there's more for me to do and I've got to work harder. Well, the only way we can live this is through what Jesus gave us. I want to tell you exactly what that is. But what is the way? Why do we need a way? We answered that. Why is Jesus the way? We answered that. So what is the way? Do you know, Christians just means little Christ because we're supposed to look like him and we're supposed to grow to be more like him every day. But back in the day, in the early church, you can read about it in the book of Acts, like we weren't really called Christians, we were called people of the way or followers of the way. And I wonder sometimes if you, like, you can call yourself a Christian, but not be a person of the way. Ooh. I'll leave that with someone to consider. When everything else is shaky, in Jesus we have an unshakable and unchanging foundation from which to love God and to love people. It is as simple as that, but profoundly hard and transformative. Let me do a little check. Like Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. All right. When was the last time someone hurt you, crossed you, wronged you, and your response was to pray that God would save them and bless them? That's the way of Jesus. Not acknowledging that it didn't happen, but actually our attention is more towards God, what he's done through Jesus, and so we can live this way. When was the last time you served someone, not even talking about in church, just anyone, serve someone expecting nothing in return? Maybe the caveat of that is like, oh, yes, I expect nothing in return. But how do I feel when actually nothing comes in return? Like, that's different again, right? Because we kind of have this thing simmering underneath. What about when was the last time you forgave someone without them asking for forgiveness? these are little things that we can just pay attention to and go, oh, this truth of Jesus is actually meant to impact my daily life. And when it impacts your life, as we said, not expecting you to be perfect. It's not about good behavior. But actually, God will work through that to impact someone else's life through your life. I'm going to read from Galatians 5, as Brett shared with us. And it was such a blessing around passion and purpose with a whole bunch of men, a whole bunch of youth together. But like, how are we supposed to do this? Is anyone going, how? I'm tired. How? Well, let's have a look. Galatians 5 says this: living by the Spirit's power. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces, and this is the ongoing battle in the Christian life. We've been saved and transformed and made new, but we still have a flesh that is those sinful desires that butts up against the Spirit who is in us, the Spirit of God, the person of the Trinity that's been in the world for the last 2,000 years. This is the only belief in which God comes and lives within his creation to help them live this way. And without it, we don't stand a chance. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Anyone have that experience? I have really good intentions, but I don't carry them out. Or like stuff happens. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses, i.e. living a perfect life to save yourself, because you can't. Next one, thanks, Hannah. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, let's pay attention. The results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, which just means loving something more than God, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger. I've talked about my kind of wrestle with anger over time where God has worked in me. It's okay to be open about this stuff. Selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Friday night was a party with all the youth of our region, but not like that one. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. We've talked a lot. I'm going to read the last passage. We've talked a lot that God is more concerned with our character than our comfort. Like, people think I should be growing in happiness and comfort. Maybe those are like two of the biggest ideals that the world has. But we're actually growing in the freedom that the Holy Spirit brings, and these fruits that outwork not in our strength but in our surrender and God's faithful work through the Spirit in our lives. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And there is no law against these things. Worship team, you want to come back up? I'm thinking like, all the earth, shout your praise. Great are you, Lord. Is that cool? We need to understand. What's the context of when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life? This is the Last Supper. He's sitting with his disciples. He's washed their feet. They have shared in communion just like we did. And he's talking about where he is going. And they say, how am I supposed to know the way there? And Jesus says, well, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. But then further on, he says, but you know, when I go, I don't know if you know this, but Jesus was around for 40 days roundabout after he rose again. He was seen by more than 500 people. And he said, I'm going, so that the Holy Spirit can come. And the Holy Spirit is a person who comes and lives in you and with you to help you walk this way. And maybe you need strengthening. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The same power that conquered the grave lives in us through Jesus. Maybe you need comforting. Comforter is one of the Holy Spirit's names. Maybe you need an advocate because there's injustice. That's who the Holy Spirit is. Maybe you need reminding and counseling because you can't remember what you read in Scripture. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Maybe you struggle to pray. I love the passage that says, we don't know what to pray, and the Holy Spirit helps us. I don't know what it's like for you right now. I don't know your specific context for every single one of you. Maybe actually you have an opportunity to stand up in front of people and tell them this Easter. Maybe you're going, I feel really unqualified for this. Stop relying on yourself. Trust God. Surrender into that. You know, Peter and John in Acts 4, I'm going to read this in just a moment, they were standing before a whole council of scary religious leaders. And these leaders looked at them, and the only thing they knew about them was that they were uneducated, but that they'd been with Jesus. And they say this, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And that name is the name of Jesus. And so today, as you've given God your attention, what's he been saying to you? These guys are going to play. We're going to have some people up here, including myself. You will not be on the camera. Anything you share with them will be confidential. But if you are realizing today, I don't know Jesus, but I'm realizing he's the way, I invite you to take a scary step, be bold, come up and just say, I need Jesus. I want to say yes to Jesus. And then maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you realize, oh, I've kind of gotten stuck in the fact that Jesus is the way to eternity, but I've forgotten he's actually the way to live every day. Can I have anyone on that prayer team to come out? Jump up. It's kind of scary for people, so we're going to go first. I'm going to come and do that too. I'm going to come down here. This week, we really felt like last year we had 30 baptisms, more than 30 baptisms, which is an outward symbol of what has happened in someone's heart when they come to know and follow Jesus and are saved. Doing what he said, the time has come. You and Jesus are colliding. And he's saying, turn away from your old way, apologize for the sin in your life, which is repentance, and come my way and be born again of water. I got board shorts. We got a baptismal full of water over there by faith that maybe someone is ready at this time or this Easter. But also the reality is that, I might throw Anne in there, the reality that we cannot walk this way without the Holy Spirit. And so as we're ready, would you stand? We're going to sing together, but I want to pray. And I'm just going to pray around God speaking into our attention. Lord, thank you that you are here. And thank you that there is no other name but Jesus through which man can be saved. And so, Lord, today, as we have given you our attention, I pray, Father, that you would also give people the strength, the boldness, the courage to take the step you are asking them to take. Lord, we believe that because you have saved us, it's our job to tell others how they can be saved too, and how the answer to all of the big burning questions in their life is actually the person of Jesus. Because, Lord, he is the way. And in Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.